Welcome to Exceedingly Abundant Ministries with Pastor Gary Cole. We are committed to bringing you the good news of the gospel, believing that God wants to make Christians whole in spirit, soul, and body. Visit our website at eaministries.net. Now, here is Pastor Gary with today's teaching.
Well, good afternoon. The Lord bless you. I pray that you're having a wonderful day today. God is so good. I pray you're enjoying this Christmas season, and let's always remember that Jesus is the reason for the season. Today, we're going to be talking about settling God's word on earth. We're going to begin in Psalm 119, beginning verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is in all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. I like that, don't you? God said his word is forever settled in heaven. Now, we're going to talk today about how we can settle God's word here on earth. And let me tell you all up front. We settle God's word on earth by receiving it, believing it, standing on it, fighting for it, and then, yes, receiving the blessings or the promises in our life. The will of God is not automatic. Have you noticed that? Remember when Jesus was teaching his disciples about prayer in Matthew 6? Let's repeat some of that prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we are to pray for God's will to be done on earth as it's being done in heaven. We have to call forth the promises of God by faith. We have to stand on those promises, and we can't stand on the promises if we don't know them. Let's begin with our first point. First of all, we must have to receive God's word. I like over here in the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 2, Paul's writing to the church at Thessalonica, and he's really giving them quite a compliment here in 1 Thessalonians, chapter 2, beginning verse 13. He says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectively worketh also in you that believeth." In other words, they recognized the authority of God's word. Do you recognize that? Remember, Paul says over here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." So we have a God-breathed book here. In fact, let's look at one more scripture that will encourage you through that also. 2 Peter chapter 1, we'll begin in verse 20. "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not at any time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." So we have a holy book here that God has made sure that we have the truth of what we are to believe and understand about God and His kingdom and His will and His purpose for all mankind. So that's exciting. In fact, I like what Derek Prince has often said. Remember, when you're reading God's word is reading you, because God's word is alive. The Bible is the written word of God. Jesus is the living word of God. And remember, both Old and New Testament point you to the Lord Jesus Christ, that you can know him as your Savior and Lord and be born again, have your sins forgiven, have your names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, have eternal life. You become an heir of God and a joint heir of Christ. And once you're born again, God begins to unfold his purpose and plan for your life. And it's always exciting. Amen? So we have to receive the Word of God. Let's talk about more about God's Word. Here's what Jesus has to say also in John chapter 8, beginning in verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word. Now notice they got saved, but now he's telling them they need to continue in his word, okay? If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And remember, we're all called to be followers, disciples of Jesus, ever born again believer. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Remember, God's word is truth. Once you receive God's word and get born again, you're to continue to study it, grow in his word, and you will receive progressive revelation from God about his will and purpose and plan for your life. The word of God comes alive. It speaks to you. It becomes alive in you, and you begin to understand the things of God and know how to walk in the things of God. And remember, that's a lifelong process of discipleship. So we just don't get saved by hearing the word and receiving Jesus. We continue to follow him and get into the word, and he'll speak to us and guide and direct our every step. That's so important. But you notice when a person receives Jesus as their Savior and Lord and receives God's word, and then he believes it. And remember now, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know, you're not impressed with the measure of faith you have, you can always get more. Romans 12:3 says that God's given to every man a measure of faith. But you can have more if you'll continue to hear and grow in the word. Your faith can be strengthened, and you can be like Paul says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You know, Paul was talking to the church there in Rome in Romans chapter 12. Notice what he told the believers. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, again, they were already saved, but he's just telling them how important it is daily to consecrate yourself to God and say, Lord, here I am today. I belong to you. I'm yours. I present myself to you right now. Let's go back and read it. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, talking about world system, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, when a person gets saved, God doesn't push the clear button in your brain. You've learned a lot of ways of living and acting independent of God and, in a sense, getting along without God. Now, God was always there, but you didn't know him and weren't recognizing him. And you've learned some wrong ways of thinking about things and about people and circumstances. And now God, through his word, is going to retrain you to know what God thinks. And the Holy Spirit will bear witness. He'll not only convict us of sin, he'll reveal the truths of God's word so that we can begin to think like God thinks. Remember, I like what it says in Amos 3:3. God says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Of course, the answer to that question is no. And if you and I are going to walk with God, we're learning through being discipled how to agree with him about everything and everyone by studying God's word, and he shows us and reveals to us how to think about these things. And we become more and more Christ-like. And that's so important for every believer. Amen. And remember, it's a lifelong process that will keep us busy until the Lord calls us home to heaven. So we receive God's word, we believe it, But, you know, we don't just believe it. We have to stand on it. Remember what Paul says over here in the book of Ephesians chapter 6? He's talking to the believers about putting on the whole armor of God. And I pray that every day you put on the whole armor of God, just like you get dressed and undressed at night. You in the morning, you get dressed again. Well, every day, I believe we need to put on a fresh armor of God, recognizing basically who we are in Christ Jesus, what he has provided for us, and then we are spiritually dressed and ready for the day. Notice what Paul says here in Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. That's a command. Put on the whole armor of God. That means it's not automatic. You have to put it on by faith. That you may be able to stand. Okay. Stand. Did you hear what he said? Against the wiles. Some versions say trickery, methods of the devil. Okay. You know, I like a little book by Watchman Nee. It's called Sit, Walk, and Stand. And I'll talk to you just for a minute about it. First of all, we go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. And the Bible says, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's an important verse because the verb context is this. Right now, it's already happened. In other words, when a person gets born again and receives Jesus, your spiritual position in Christ is actually seated with him in heavenly places. Isn't that awesome? How'd I get there? Just by receiving Jesus. You invited him into your heart. He has now exalted you in a spiritual position of seated with him in heavenly places. Okay? From that place of rest, from that place of knowing who we are in Christ Jesus and receiving that wonderful, full, and free salvation, now we're ready to do something. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. And as you are therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Okay, from a position of rest, knowing who we are in Christ, recognizing that we're seated with him, spiritually speaking, in heavenly places. And remember, that's where all the blessings are, in heavenly places. So again, we walk in that authority and power that the Holy Spirit's given according to the Word of God. And then we are to walk in love. In other words, we have received God's love. In fact, Romans 5:5 says, the love of God has been poured abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given to us. We've been regenerated by the Holy Spirit. We've received the love of God. And remember the first fruit of the Holy Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit is love. So now that we've received that unconditional, perfect love of God, now we are ready to walk in love. And we learn how to love people, to walk in forgiveness, to love people God's way, because God teaches us how to do that as we walk with him and grow in his word. He shows us, he equips us to walk in love. But that's all good and well. Are there any hindrances? Well, that brings us to Ephesians 6:11. We have to stand. You see, the very fact that now you're part of the kingdom of God and you've been delivered out of the kingdom of Satan, Satan and his imps are mad, and they are now trying to destroy you. They try to bring temptations, snares, come against you with sickness, oppression, persecutions, and things like that to bring you down. And while you're walking in love, you have to learn how to stand in the victory you have in Christ Jesus. I like what James says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But the reason you have to resist the devil is because he's messing with you. He's got wiles, tricks, devices he does to try to bring you down, get you discouraged. You know, there's a lot of Christians who don't go to church anymore. Why is that? Someone hurt their feelings. This happened, that happened. Oh, that wasn't right. Yeah, that's part of life. That was a strategy of the devil to get you upset with maybe the pastor or others in the church, and now you're not serving the Lord. That was the devil. Recognize that. The devil works through people. Okay? He can whisper in your mind, but also he can have people say things that aren't right to you or about you and hurt your feelings. And you need to recognize that's the devil and deal with that instead of letting him get you sidetracked. So we have to learn how to stand, and we stand with that whole armor of God on. Let's just read it real quick. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able, hear this, to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. You don't run away. You stand, and the devil runs away. But you have to know who you are in Christ. Okay, and wear this armor. Notice it. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. All these are parts of the armor are a picture of Jesus. Jesus is our truth. Jesus is our righteousness. You get the picture? And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In other words, you're ready to be a witness for Christ and recognize that Jesus is your peace. Above all, now hear this, taking the shield of faith. Why do I need that? With which you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Satan is shooting darts at you. They're invisible. Again, thoughts in your mind, words spoken by others, maybe something you see on a TV or in the newspaper, things. Satan uses all sorts of different ways to shoot fiery darts at you to get you from being effective as a believer. I believe there's two assignments Satan has over every person in this world. Number one, to keep you from knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. If he fails that assignment, he doesn't give up. Assignment number two is this, to keep you from being effective as a believer in Christ Jesus. Because if you get effective and start telling others about Jesus and showing his love like you should, others will want to get saved. Now that's what God wants, and that's how God uses to bring people into the kingdom of God, but Satan hates that. So he's got to have somebody do something to upset you or to get you into sin or messed up where you're not being effective. So you've got to hold up that shield of faith. That's why Paul also said, remember in 2 Corinthians 10, he says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity, listen to this, every thought to the obedience of Christ. See, Satan not just tries to work on you by others, the things they say and do, and they're going on the world. Remember, he whispers in your ear, just like we can hear God's voice. I hate to say it, we can also hear Satan's voice. Remember, he's called the tempter. Well, how's a person tempted? Through thoughts and suggestions in the mind. Have you ever seen someone dropped a pencil and no one was around and you had this thought, go ahead and take it, no one's looking? Where do you think that came from? A literal voice in your mind telling you to do that. That's the devil. He's the tempter. Okay? You didn't see him, but you heard him. Remember, he has his army, too, that's out there trying to defeat and destroy you. Therefore, you got to wear this armor, hold up that shield of faith, and notice Paul says, we have to stand. We don't run away. The devil's going to run away, but we have to stand our ground, and that leads us to the next point, not just stand, but we have to fight the good fight of faith. Let me finish first. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You see how important the Word of God is? And then it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And we put it on by prayer. But notice this whole armor of God is for us so we can be effective. And when the devil tries to mess with us, we stand in Christ's victory. We have the shield up, and even we have the offensive weapon of the Word of God, which the Spirit God uses to defeat Satan. So we don't run away, but the devil run away. But if you don't know you're in warfare, if you don't know that you have an old armor of God, if you don't know you're supposed to stand, many times Christians run away. And that's sad. Remember, Jesus has won the victory, but we still have to fight the good fight of faith. That brings us to our next point. Not just do we have to stand, we have to fight. You know, there's an old song that even when I was a youngster, I used to sing at the church I attended. It was called Onward Christian Soldiers. That was a good song. That song recognizes that we're in a battle, a real battle, with the kingdom of Satan. Yes, Satan was defeated on the cross, but he's still an illegal devil. He still tries to attack, tempt, and mess with you. He's still called the god of this world, little g. And we have to deal with him because there's people under his control, and we live in a fallen system that is continually trying to influence us in wrong ways. Remember today, if you're politically correct, you're a wicked, vile sinner. Isn't that sad? We live in a day where good is called evil and evil is called good. The Bible said that would happen. And it's right now in 2011. How wicked that is. That things are being done that are called good, and the Bible says it's evil, it's heinous, it's sin. I pray that you've not been caught up in that political correctness and you're speaking the truth of God's word, wielding that sword of the Spirit. Amen? But the next word we had was fight. Oh, believers aren't supposed to fight. Yes, you are. Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not, and again, none of your versions stop there. I think that's where a lot of Christians are at. We wrestle not. No, that's not where it ends. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. That means people with bodies. But against principalities, against powers, against the rules of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We war against Satan and his kingdom. We have to, Jesus has won the victory, but we are enforcers of this victory in this life. And it's a real battle. Let me prove it to you. Let's go over here for a minute to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Notice what Paul says to young Timothy. In fact, I'll just start verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. And here it is. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life unto which thou art called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. We have to fight the good fight of faith. We have to put on that armor, hold up that shield, know what the word says, and speak the word of God over circumstances, over life, over people, and expose the lies of the enemy. And that's what he's all about. He's all about lies. And we are to tell the truth and speak the truth in love. Paul goes on here in the letter to 2 Timothy. Notice what he says to young Timothy. Chapter 2, verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Yes, we're in a soldier's, in the army. Soldiers can get wounded. Sadly, there's a lot of Christians who have been sidelined. They're wounded. They've been injured by people, maybe by preachers, by things like that, but because they didn't wear the armor, because they haven't learned and grown about forgiveness and understanding even the devil sometimes speaks through Christians. Yes, he spoke through me before. Has he ever spoke through you? Have you ever got mad, said something to your wife or kids or someone you shouldn't, and you thought, man, why didn't I say that? Well, that was the devil. You should have shut your mouth. You need to repent. I need to repent. You see what I'm saying? The devil gets us sometimes as Christians walking in the flesh, and we say and do things we shouldn't, and it hurts us and it hurts others, and we have to deal with that. But you need to know that happens to all people, okay? Your brothers and sisters in Christ are not perfect. Your preacher's not perfect. Yes, we have a standard of walking in righteousness and holiness, but we still all can mess up, and we have to be loving, forgiving, be patient, and encourage and pray one for another, and not just say, well, I'm not going to go to church if they're going to act that way. Well, you know, anybody can act stupid, even believers. Have you figured that out? Didn't take too long to figure that one out, did it? Okay, remember, we're a work in process. We're growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We've not arrived. And especially new Christians who are growing, who still have their spiritual pampers on, they can make some whopping mistakes. Okay? And mature believers can too. They shouldn't. But I'm just telling you, we have to deal with these things and recognize it's the devil stirring this up, stirring those people up, and we need to love them and pray for them and help them and to restore them instead of just letting people become casualties. That's such a sad thing, okay? So we have to fight the good fight of faith. In fact, even over here, I like here in the book of Jude, verse 3, he says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." You see, we have to contend for the faith. We have to fight the good. There's cults out there. There's ism. There's false religions. We have to contend for the faith. There's a lot of things you got to deal with. I wish we didn't, but the Bible says we have to. But in Christ, we are victorious. We have to receive God's word. We have to believe God's word. We have to stand on God's word. We have to fight the good fight of faith, not fighting people, but fighting against Satan and his lies and darkness. And then finally, we receive the answer to our prayers. We receive the promises of God. We receive and walk in Christ's victory. But it just doesn't automatically happen. You know, sometimes you'll just pray a prayer and bam, God blessed you and there you have it. That's awesome. But I tell you, it's not that way all the time. That's why Paul said in Hebrews 10, he says, "Cast not away your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you may have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Yet a little while he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. We are not of them who draw back into perdition," that means misery, "but believe to the saving of the soul." But you notice it said we have need of patience. Okay, things always don't come easily. Sometimes you have to stand and fight a while before you see that promise fulfilled, before you see that blessing come. Amen? Maybe you're saying today, well, I'm not even saved. I need to get saved. Pray with me right now. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I understand today that Jesus Christ died for my sins and rose again. Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior and Lord of my life. Thank you for saving me. I love you, Jesus. And Lord Jesus, baptize me in the Holy Spirit that I might serve you effectively. Amen. God bless you. Go to church. Get built up in the Lord. And remember, settle God's word on earth by doing these things. God bless you.
This broadcast is made possible by our faithful partners in the ministry outreach of Bethel Worship Center in Joplin, Missouri. If you have been blessed by Pastor Gary Cole's teaching and would like to know more about our ministry, feel free to visit our website at eaministries.net. That's eaministries.net.